Welcome back.
Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, December 5th, 2019. So, visual pattern recognition, long-term memory. A few things real quick before we dive back in. Speaking of the music business, and I've talked about how it's just interesting. I've alluded lately. I went into it sort of in depth a time or two. You know, letting alone, setting aside Christopher Notorious B.I.G. Wallace, setting aside Tupac Shakur and his mom, Afeni, and those kinds of things. More recently, Russell Tyrone Jones, a.k.a. ODB, founding member of Wu-Tang Clan. Remember, he was interviewed by Mark Jacobson regarding Bill Cooper's book and didn't live long to tell about it. You hear about these guys, oh, a successful career, just living the life, everything. Oh, yeah, I know, he committed suicide. He was really struggling with, wait a minute, I thought you just said he was doing fine. Nothing to see here. Moving right along. Died of an alleged drug overdose, 2 days shy of his 36th birthday. Albert Johnson, a.k.a. Prodigy, member of Mobb Deep, rapped about Illuminati stuff. As a powerful international secret society, interviewed by Mark Jacobson regarding Bill Cooper's book, allegedly died of an accidental choking on an egg. June 20, 2017. I should put all of this stuff together in one list, I think, you know? And I've mentioned it from time to time, like yesterday's list of 57 notable folks. Malcolm James McCormick, a.k.a. Mac Miller, very outspoken about addiction and salvation through Christ, most recently, died of a suspected drug overdose in his Studio City home on September 7, 2018. An autopsy was done, but the cause of death, as far as I know, still to this day, is yet to be officially determined. I'm sure it has been by now. You know, so Mac Miller was one of those folks, just, man, living the life, it's good. I mean, he finally put those demons to rest, and now he's out living the good life, talking about, oh, yeah, no, he was struggling, and yeah. And so when I see drug overdose or I see autoerotic asphyxiation, He hanged himself in a phone booth. Really? Was he a magician? In a closet in his hotel room. Huh, that's funny because that's a textbook favorite method to assassinate people in the intelligence community. That's like one of the entry-level tactics they use. One of the first things you learn, you know. So that's curious, but whatever. People being interviewed for Mark Jacobson's book. Hey, can I interview you? And no, if I was a betting man, I wouldn't want to be interviewed by Mark Jacobson. And if I was a sinister betting man, devoid of conscience, I would bet I'd go to Vegas and try to play the odds whenever someone named Bin Laden boarded an airplane. You know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's worth looking up. Bin Laden family, notoriously plagued by catastrophic plane failure. Remember headlines like this? Let's see. The strange death of Osama bin Laden's brother in Texas. There was that one. That's a Rents article. Daily Mail, Osama bin Laden's family incinerated, quote unquote, in plane crash. That was the Daily Mail. Another Daily Mail story. Osama bin Laden's family killed in jet crash after pilot had to overtake microlight. You know, and on those stories go. The whole family, you know, whole family boards a plane. And the whole family incinerated. brother meets with, older brother meets with Bush family and gets bushwhacked, basically. So those things actually do happen, and it right out in plain sight, like John in Tennessee was saying, and who's paying attention. So anyway, back to the strategy of tension, a couple of things real quick, and then back to the phone. So strategy of tension, you look at the WikiSpooks entries, for example, deniability, got to have plausible deniability. And that's a term of art for the intelligence community. It existed in antiquity, but the CIA has taken it to a whole new level, which the Oracle illusion, Wikipedia acknowledges the Oracle illusion entry. Plausible deniability, blah, 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 blah. Although plausible deniability has existed throughout history, that name for it was coined by the CIA in the early 1960s to describe the withholding of information from senior officials in order to protect them from repercussions in the event that illegal or unpopular activities – wait a minute, illegal or unpopular activities by the CIA became public knowledge, which they have over and over, decade after decade, generation after generation. And yet, funny how those things persist. So deniability is essential. Compartmentalization, and this section on the WikiSpooks entry, the PSYOP component of a strategy of tension. And what is it? It's you attack the general populace to induce a state of fear so that they react and say, help us, kidnapper, help us. And it was the strategy of tension really came to light after the early 1990s revelation of Operation Gladio, the leave behind component from World War II. In case communism rears its ugly head, we need to have these sleeper agents, sleeper cells. Where have we heard that term? Oh, yeah. They're freedom fighters. No, not quite, but whatever. So that's what Gladio was, or is, shall we say. So the PSYOP component under that section, you read, the main target of the strategy of tension is the public opinion to manipulate votes, create a casus belli, which Google curiously translates to espionage. I think that's very provocative. Google Translate translates casus belli to espionage, to legitimate a war, to call for strong leader or roll out mass surveillance and denounce peacemakers as unpatriotic, quote unquote. False flag terrorist attacks are just the tip of the iceberg of possible measures to achieve these goals. And I think it's interesting that the authors of this entry include H.L. Mencken's words: the whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamoring to be led to safety by menacing it with an endless series of hobgoblins, most of them imaginary, like the war on terror. How do you fight an ideology, especially one that's being proliferated? I was reading on the NEOM stuff again last night, and how now that MBS and friends have, now that it's a kinder, gentler Saudi Arabia, only not, and they're working to build the $500 billion port city of NEOM on the new Silk Road route, they're coming more out into the open with their relationship with Israel. And that's two sides of the conflict right there. It's this thing called Israel and Saudi Arabia, where Zionism and political Islam are collided together, or Zionism and Wahhabism specifically, a.k.a. Salafism, a.k.a. Deobandism. They're collided together. And the proliferators of this, funny how they don't fight, but everyone soaks up this poisoned ideology and gets sucked into the conflict. And that sounds exactly like what Pike wrote to Mazzini in his letter, August 15, 1871. Colliding these two forces together, that's World War III right there. What a curious coincidence. Anyway, so last thing on the – well, two things. We'll play the short clip when I'm talking about the what happened in Pearl Harbor, what I would call a synthetic terror event. It's at a minimum a convenient strategy of tension thing, and things can be rolled into that. So first the clip. If you're ready with that, can we play that, please?
There is yet another developing story as we're on the air tonight for late details coming in right now. Here's Eva Pilgrim.
David, there has been a reported shooting at Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard in Hawaii. Police confirming they are responding to an incident at the facility that began around 2:30 p.m. local time. Police vehicles could be seen rushing to the base. It's unclear at the moment how many were injured or if anyone was killed. That shipyard has been put on lockdown for the time being as authorities investigate exactly what happened. David.
Eva, thanks.
Hi, everyone.
So, you know, again, light on details. That's just good journalism right there, I'm telling you. So it reminds me of Ole Damegaard's post from 2007. I mentioned Becker Rabani in my list yesterday, journalist, Swedish journalist Becker Rabani. I think I even included a link to the RBN post that, you know, talked about his murder. I'll call it an assassination. What's the difference between a murder and an assassination? Look it up. Assassination is murder for political or religious motives. Anyway, so Ole Damegaard's post, 2017. Was Swedish journalist Becker Rabani murdered? And you read this. Was Swedish journalist Becker Rabani murdered just hours before he planned a major exposure of media giant Robert Aschberg? Question mark. Author and researcher Ole Damegaard interviews former Black Op independent contractor Cody Snodgrass, involved in many secret assignments during his career, including assassinations, about how a possible heart attack could have been done by a hit team and what to look for in the autopsy. Our deep felt sympathy goes out to his family and friends. May his death not be in vain. And then continuing on, after 22 years of silence, Ole Damegaard's friend and former independent black ops contractor Cody Snodgrass recently decided to step forward as a whistleblower. In 1994, he was offered $1 million U.S. dollars by the CIA to bomb the Alfred P. Murrah building in Oklahoma City. Some folks probably remember something happened not too many months after that. Well, several things happened. Anyway, when he turned it down, he went from being an asset to a liability, and the agency tried to kill him on several occasions. Now he's devoting his life to getting the real truth out there. Anyway, there's a link to the video of Ole Damegaard talking about this, and you click on the link, and what do you get? This account has been terminated for violating YouTube's community guidelines. So you can literally watch pornography on YouTube, but you can't hear this. You can watch child abuse and all kinds of other horrific things that shouldn't be put out for public consumption at all, but you can't watch this with no profanity and no nothing. And so, you know, and besides, YouTube changed its terms and conditions, and so now it's, you know, probably not economically viable anymore, which reminds me of that scene from Falling Down. Anyway, you can still find it, and I'll try to post the link to that. It was mirrored on another channel or two, so you can still find it. So hopefully some of that, I don't know, is valuable. Back to the phones. William in Montana, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, William.
Strategy of tension has become a tried and tested political tool of using terror or indiscriminate violence to retain power.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then, you know, it's very convenient to blame your political rivals, you know, for it.
And as you have pointed out, the last time we started to get into this and Machiavelli came up, this is stuff that is taught. Again, people try to apply their own level of understanding or their own morals and ethics and whatever, and they don't realize that this kind of stuff, and Machiavelli specifically, is taught in the hallowed halls of Ivy League institutions.
And military academies.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, you got to be able to, you know, quote Machiavelli to show that you're, you know, getting the party line straight. And, you know, I mean, if it works, they say if it works, you know, why not use it, you know?
Yeah. If it ain't broke,
I mean,
don't
fix it. In the United States, I mean, it's the shooting of the week, the shooting of the day. You know, this is staged, you know, and if you listen to, you know, the details, which I don't, but I still get them, because whether you go looking for them or not, they're everywhere, you know.
Exactly.
And it's like no place is safe. You know, well, you don't want to go to some bar in a seedy section of the town, but you don't even want to go shopping, you know, for treats for your kids, because it can happen anywhere. I'm amazed at the variety of these shootings.
Yeah.
And I'm also amazed at how many times the shooter shoots themselves.
Case in point, yep.
Yeah.
Ostensibly,
you know, that,
perhaps.
That's how you keep a cap on it. You know, that's how you keep it from going to trial. That's how, and I mean, they're already, I believe these things are so well planned that it's almost like somebody pushing a button. Like, okay, let's have one in Syracuse. Oh, no, let's have one in, Dallas, we've done that before. Let's have one, and it's just like a shooting, a terrorist attack, indiscriminate violence coming to a small town near you. I mean, that seems to be the new program.
Yeah. Speaking of that, there have been several instances of, you know, bomb threats and different things in small towns in the Flathead Valley area in Montana, for example. I've heard of several, including one recently, a bomb threat. And what's curious about that is these things happen. And again, they somehow, in even small town, you know, Hayseed, Montana, someone who threatens a school for apparently no reason, no overt, obvious reason, does it in a way that is so clever and sophisticated as to not be traced. Who could do that, I wonder? Over and over,
also,
that's the way the story always goes.
And I would say that, you know, we talk about this because we're from Montana, but if you were from North Dakota, you would have the same and similar incidences there, you know, another bomb threat, you know, called into the school, untraceable, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, you could probably go through every state and find that these things are happening. Now, is that a rash of copycats? Or is that a sophisticated program of keeping us all on edge asking for protection?
Or a synthesis of D, all of the above, which reminds me of when I went through at one point, like in one broadcast, or I think two or three of them, the LIHOP, MIHOP, and HIHOP series of stuff. And I'll explain that and mention one other thing I forgot to mention earlier, too. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It Really Works by Brad. Works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. So, two quick things. We're on the phones with William in Montana at the moment. Two quick things about what we're talking about. I meant to mention earlier, by the way, and this is sort of unrelated at this point, but VPN meets GDPR. Speaking of the disingenuous, and I thought I'd raise this, maybe we can come back to that. Actually, I'll table that because maybe you and I can come back to that. I think that you and I could have that conversation that might be useful to people. It reminds me of the IPv4 versus 6 conversation and 5G. So VPN meets GDPR is kind of what I would say to put those things together to help people understand. Basically, GDPR is the end around on VPN. If we're all going to be using a VPN, well, maybe every time you visit any website for anything, you know, because we have to comply with the EU's GDPR, we have to put cookies on all of your devices. So do you comply? Do you consent? So that's the end around on the VPN stuff. But we'll come back to that maybe. So the thing I was going to mention about what you were saying is the LIHOP, HIHOP, and MIHOP stuff. For those who don't know, those are acronyms that stand for Let It Happen on Purpose. And if you can't, if you haven't engineered circumstances, again, you know, Larkin, Texas comes to mind. In the absence of certainty, probabilism will do. Cybernetic totalists know that we can probably write a math problem to engineer and orchestrate circumstances such that LIHOP will get the job done. Let it happen on purpose. And I think of Brzezinski's La Nouvelle Observatoire interview back in 1998 that William Bloom translated, where Brzezinski said, that's what we did. You know, he said, we didn't force the Soviets into the Afghanistan, but we created a situation that made it virtually impossible for them not to intervene. And when they did, he said, I called Jimmy Carter and congratulated him that we've given the Soviets their Vietnam War. So that's LIHOP. Let it happen on purpose because you've engineered circumstances to such a degree that that is what happens. Then there's HIHOP, which is help it happen on purpose. When you can't, when it needs a little extra nudge, HIHOP comes into play. And if that doesn't work, then it's MIHOP. You make it happen on purpose. And that's why, like at Parkland, you have a truck full of guys in black jumpsuits running out into a white truck and driving away with a bag and some other stuff. What was going on there? Nah, don't worry about it. Pay no attention to the wizard behind the curtain. So those are just a few little nuggets I wanted to mention in conjunction with what you're saying, William.
I think, you know, given some new factors, you know, because this whole digital age has been decades in the making, you know, the philosophical foundation, the metaphysics, whatever, you know, they were moving this so that you developed a people that were very non-discriminating and were used to being fed, you know, so make it happen. You know, there's no threat of discovery if you just outright make it happen all the time. When you have a people who are non-discriminating, uninformed, and used to being fed whatever's coming down the digital stream. And I think, you know, I was, for light reading last night, I was reading a bunch of Ezra Pound, which I don't recommend, before you go to bed. and also some essays. I found an essay that was sent to me in 2006. By a friend in Cupertino, and it was a copy of Jaron Lanier's essay on digital malism.
Yeah.
And I was amazed because, you know, we've been talking about Wikipedia and there's been studies, and he mentions this in this article about, which is more accurate, Wikipedia or the Encyclopedia Britannica?
Mm-hmm.
And he says it was all rigged because the subjects that they chose for comparison were very modern high-tech things, which, you know, Wikipedia, you know, that's the people who contribute the most. Mm-hmm. To Wikipedia is from that that group. And he talks very specifically about the problem, and I'd like to go into that if I could.
Absolutely. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
The Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. you need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, December 5th, 2019. We're on the phones. We have William and Montana on the line. And yes, please elaborate by all means.
Yeah, he talks about this digital malism, as he called it in this article.
Jaron Lanier, yeah.
Yeah, Jaron Lanier. And he said, the problem is in the way the Wikipedia has become regarded and used, how it's been elevated to such importance so quickly. And that is part of a larger pattern of the appeal of the new online collectivism that is nothing less than a resurgence of the idea that the collective is all wise. And he goes on to say how, you know, this whole digital mechanism, it is desirable to have influence concentrated in a bottleneck that can channel the collective. I mean, this is an old trick, you know, Alice Bailey, all the way back, way, way back. You know, you need to find some bottleneck, some way to squeeze everything together, and then deliver your message, which is the collective or the ascended master or whatever, is always right. It's the most intelligent. It's the most forward-thinking. Yeah. And he said, you know, he mentions, he said, you know, this idea has had dreadful consequences when thrust upon us from the extreme right or the extreme left in various historical periods. He said the fact that it is now being reintroduced today by prominent technologists and futurists, people who in many cases I know and like, doesn't make it any less dangerous. And I think this is I even see this in John's comment where, his request, like, please let me drive my own truck.
Yeah.
And that was, another thing that Jerry in sort of paralleling that, what Lanier said was, you have to have a chance to sense personality in order for language to have its full meaning.
Yep.
That is, he sees limitation in the utility of an encyclopedia produced only partially interested third parties as a form of communication. There is no communication there. The person is taken out, just like John's technology in his truck is saying, hey, in the interest of preventing an accident, we might cause an accident.
Yeah,
because,
exactly.
We've lost your experience on the highway, for making quick judgments, for seeing things that are happening in front of you. I mean, what happens if you're driving along on a frozen road and somebody stops quickly and the brakes of your large truck go on when you already see the black ice? I mean, that shows that as soon as you take this personality out of the equation, this real live person, you are in deep trouble, no matter who is introducing the technology.
Yeah. And along the way, it's helpful to those efforts to introduce the problems, which gets back to the dialectical conversation, the dialectical conflict, and Hegel's method, which was not Hegel's method, but was borrowed from him posthumously. And I think of Mencken's the one quote in particular that I think is attributed to him, speaking of the collective, he talked about the collective wisdom, democracy is the pathetic belief in the collective wisdom of individual ignorance. It's kind of the way it sums up the logical fallacy of the wisdom of the collective. I think that's a good way to sort of punctuate the point. But the technocrat is the new high priest of the old religious dark ages, and the soothsayers of data will tell us exactly what we want to hear. But, like you're pointing out, I mean, no one, I think, has been more provocatively outspoken about the dangers of this than Jaron Lanier. And, man, he has done it. Walking a fine line, the razor's edge, not offending, but, hopefully being provocative enough to pique curiosity in those of us who are fortunate enough to sort of listen in and eavesdrop on his thoughts. Why does he need to step outside of his Brazilianized compound and talk to the rest of us? I think he's doing humanity a huge service. And I, for one, appreciate his efforts.
And he says, one of the problems with allowing the, sort of expected refinement from the collective, the collective is right, it eventually will refine. That's the whole idea behind the AIs, the connected AIs in the cloud, is that eventually, with access to all this information, they will be able to refine this thing to a fine line where you will get the truth. But he says, unfortunately, most of us will not live long enough for that to happen. I mean, we will not see the final result of the glorious collective. Because this always seems to happen sometime later than what we're being presented with now.
Yeah.
And got me thinking about a lot of things when you were listing this very, very diverse list of people who were taken out. And, you know, I was just reminded of some of my own research in, you know, when you were talking about Laurel Canyon, you know,
yeah.
Michael Jackson, you know, or Jimi Hendrix, Bob Marley, Michael Jackson, Prince. If you dig into the times just before their death,
yeah,
it's always amazing these very strange people appeared,
yeah.
You know, just so, and they were so, there was something about them that just clicked. They just answered one of the questions, or they gave the hope of answering questions that all these performers had. And it
yep.
doesn't matter whether you are a political agitator or a digger into the things that no one should look into. I mean, any time anyone has an audience, a large audience, even if they're in quotes, the music industry, they need to be taken out if they start making too many connections.
Yeah.
And
speaking of digital
malware,
if
you look into it, I mean,
yeah,
there's always, in each one of those people's lives, there was someone that showed up months or weeks before that had a very, you know, they didn't have a history. They just appeared on the scene, and they played a very critical part in setting this person up, and also being the person that gave information to defame, you know, to besmirch these people's reputations, so everybody, you know, who's listening, you know, says, oh, yeah, you know, he was a pedophile, he was a drug addict, he was blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. if you look into it, it's very suspicious, and it just mirrors everything that you were talking about on some of these other people. That, I mean, this has to be an operation. This can't just be circumstance because and happenstance because it is so, I mean, the same things, the same tricks, the
yeah.
same instigators have so many similarities that you have to wake up to the fact that this wasn't what it seemed to be.
Yeah. I think, you know, I was thinking of the glitch in the Matrix, the black cat, deja vu. But also, you know, Sesame Street, we used to, I mean, even though Sesame Street was kind of a communist socialist indoctrination tool, that song, One of These Things Is Not Like the Other. And, you know, it is, there is a pattern. And, you know, it's exactly what you say. And, I mean, you start learning about things. And, you know, speaking of digital Maoism, Jaron Lanier's article, to make sure that no one who was becoming influential became influential and actually was able to start to cause a wrinkle in the efforts of tyrants. Chairman Mao was notorious for that kind of tactic. So it basically speaks to exactly what you're talking about. And
yeah,
that's
you know,
a storied tactic of
why
old.
The thousand flowers bloom.
Yeah.
Come this way. You know, I want to hear what you really think. And then, boom.
Yeah.
You know, tell me your secret thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do it in the digital world where you can remain anonymous. I mean, what a joke.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is anonymous in the digital world if you have the keys
yeah.
to the back door.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and who has those keys? And when I think of that, you know, I
don't have
think
them.
Of... Yeah, I don't either, but... You know, I think of that Larry Ellison. It was the Business Insider article that I've mentioned from time to time. Ellison explains the future of hackers. That was back in 2015, October. And Larry Ellison, who joked about the fact that you know, the CIA was Oracle's first client. What is an Oracle? But that article, where is that? It looks like it's evaporated, apparently. So the page is there, but there's no content on it. That's funny. But he was talking about the Spark chip, the new M7 Spark chip, and how they had created a chip that could encrypt at the chip level. And so, as I always say, you know, if you think that through in bad guy terms, like you're saying, you know, if somebody has the keys to the back door, then they can hack into stuff that you can't even access. If you can encrypt at the chip level, that's a pretty powerful tool. So,
and he was, I saw him in Mountain View one time. I went to a lecture by him, and again, the you had to be there to feel the collective enthusiasm. I mean, it was wall to wall inside the room, and it's like, we will be able to develop these sensitive databases that are interactive, and they will use, you know, the technology, and they will be, like I always say, we will be able to give you the answers of the questions that you do know you should be asking. And it was like, yeah, more. And, you know, it was, you know, this was the same place where, you know, Jared grew up, you know, and when he left, I think he left one of the digital companies to start VLP, and it was, again, you know, like, you will, this is so amazing. I mean, once we have these data gloves and these data suits and these VR goggles, we will be able to allow the lame to walk and the blind, you know, to see things that, or the poor to see things that they can't afford to go see. And it was infectious, but I mean, when I was there, I always had this question, like, whoa, you know, I mean, this was like a new religion. And if you were a non-believer sitting in the crowd, it really gave you the creeps. Mm-hmm. Because this was supposed to be flying under the cover of programming and technology and hardware, software, and you saw the religious fervor. And this was being transmitted. And to, you know, like I say, to Jared Lanier's credit, I mean, how? I mean, I saw him, and he was so sold on this that you would think that no one could escape who got in that deep. And it's a real testament to human ability to break through this programming and this collective madness and come out and make a comment about it. I mean, you know, that's remarkable, and I'm sure that later on, you know, decades from now, he's going to be seen as a very unique person who, you know, had this idea, even though he was pushing this, and I mean, he's still pushing it. He's in the business, and he's still pushing this stuff. And, I mean, he's got to be a contortionist, you know, being able to step from one stone to another in this technical pond. I mean, how does he do it? I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep it all straight. But this is something that should inspire others, that you don't have to be a victim in the digital age, but you're not going to escape unless you do a little bit more than what you expect, a little more work than you might expect to free yourself. I mean, just trying to keep myself from coming under surveillance, or at least helping them, you know, I thought I was doing a good job of it, and it's a losing battle because people say, they don't even ask you, you know, do you mind if I put a cookie on your computer? I mean, they may go through the formality of asking, but it's already on there if you have the tools to look.
Yep.
It just got slipped in while you were reading the, do you want to opt in? Well,
yeah.
You don't, whether you do or you don't, you just did.
You have a giant screen. You have a giant 27 or 32-inch monitor, and there's a tiny box on it. In this day and age where we have, you know, the responsive web and all of that, you have a tiny box. You can barely even, and of course you can't expand that or anything. That's where the terms are. And so do you really want to read through that in that tiny little pinhole, or do you just want to accept? Nah, just accept.
Yeah, I mean, and now they don't even, a lot of these screens that come up only give you one choice, and that is to opt in.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah. Where's the part where I click the thing and make you go away? Oh, that's gone. Where's the thing not now or maybe later? Those have all been removed. It just comes up, and you can't get rid of it. You have to click the thing. You have to restart your machine because there's only one choice, and why people don't see that and go completely crazy. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like we should play that clip of Chamath Palihapitiya's Stanford School of Business talk where he said, you know, we've created tools that are eroding the core foundation of how people behave and, you know, buy in with one another. And he said, and he went into detail, obviously, but he said, my solution is I just don't use these tools anymore. I haven't for years. Jaron Lanier, same thing. I mean, for a guy, and to your point, I mean, all the more so for a guy who to be at that level, to be at the forefront, to be considered the father of VR technology, and to, you know, renounce your baby in a certain context, and to do it unabashedly and to do it in a very strategic and diplomatic sort of way. I just think it's absolutely remarkable. And, you know, you listen to that talk, Glenn Beck and Jeff Brown talking, and the alternatives to the oligopolistic marketplace. And some people talk about, you know, paying you for your content, but who's talking about that? Well, Jaron Lanier is, and he has been for more than a decade, and he seems to be the lone voice. So to stand apart with all of that gravity, with all of that gravitational pull that would try to, you know, keep you there, I agree. I think it's absolutely remarkable.
I do think that, you know, he still, you know, if you read between the lines, you see that he still thinks that maybe this tool can be salvaged, but only by creating a very intelligent and aware audience.
Yeah, which sounds similar to my, you know, Jeffersonian inform their discretion, I think. I don't know.
But, you know, if you see how education has gone and how people respond and how, you know, if you tell them this is going to require a lot of work for you to understand. Work? What do you mean?
Yeah.
I'm already overworked. Just give it to me.
I would have to use a thumb? Oh, man.
Yeah. And so, you know, maybe if you're at his level, you can say there is a possibility that we might reclaim this tool, this genie, this oracle. But if you know anything about history, you know that these oracles and these genies have a tendency to deliver something that we asked for but didn't know that we asked for.
Yeah.
And I'm very cautious and I'm very skeptical. And, you know, I just hope that more people become aware of this stuff that you've been talking about. I think, like I said, it's very good to go over this list of people who did the work, who revealed things that were hidden, and paid a price for it. And, you know, many people, when you add that long list, and I particularly liked your list because it was so eclectic, that alone should get people thinking, like, what?
Yeah.
Muammar Gaddafi, you know?
Exactly.
You know, and...
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Yeah, it's like my list. We all know him. And Jimi Hendrix, I mean, he was a drug addict.
Yeah.
And Michael Jackson was a pedophile. Get it straight.
Yeah.
And yet, if you listen to the words right before their demise, they were starting to talk about things that was very different and unexpected for someone in the music business.
Yeah.
And when that happens and you have a large audience, there are forces out there that will not allow you to continue.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at those folks, the loose ends, you know, you have the Black State of the Union. Dick Gregory is instrumental in bringing it together. You got Tavis Smiley, Prince, you know, Michael Jackson's on the periphery, Bill Cosby, other people. What's been happened? What's happened, you know, Bill Cosby, we know. Tavis Smiley got the light version of the Bill Cosby treatment. Prince, you know, that whole thing. And Michael Jackson, and then Dick Gregory's talking about Michael Jackson saying, you know, he called me and he was saying they're trying to kill me. And then what happened to Dick Gregory? I mean, like every loose end is it's done. And no one's paying attention.
And, you know, it's also if you create a people who are harried, stressed, and broke, you have a very easily manipulated audience.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look into, you know, how all this stuff was, I mean, like I say, it's very difficult to read Ezra Pound. It's very difficult to talk about him because, you know, I can get in trouble even saying that I have his books on my shelf. And this is what, 70 years later? And yet, if you listen to the ideas that he was talking about, that he was arrested for, that he was declared, you know, treasonable acts, I don't see much wrong with it, because it was talking about something that was very real and verifiable, and yet, you know, he stepped over the line and he paid a price for it.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you, William. Much appreciated. JJ, sorry we missed you again. You know, hopefully, well, my apologies. Two things in parting, speaking of the busyness. Richard N. Gardner's Hard Road to World Order, 1974, Foreign Affairs, you know, Council on Foreign Relations, Foreign Affairs publication, talked about the great booming, buzzing confusion and the end run on national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece. Old-fashioned frontal assault wasn't going to be as effective. And there was a video a few years ago, I talk about it from time to time, Misdirection, where a guy in a gorilla suit walks through a crowd of people juggling a ball busily. And they say, what happened? You didn't notice. It's astonishing. Anyway, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews. But this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.